What is the goal of Islam?
Are they heading toward another caliphate? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative, biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thank you for joining me. My name is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We have been talking about Chrislam, the blending of Christianity with Islam, and it's been actually going on for a while, and what we dealt with last time was a little bit of an in-depth look at how Islam insinuates itself in society so that the society winds up giving Islam what it demands, making concessions for it. We talked about how, last time, how Muslims will attend a Catholic college. They know it was Catholic when they first applied, when they were accepted. Nothing was hidden. And yet after they became students at a school, a Catholic school, they began to exert efforts on the administration to force that Catholic university or college to conform to their own personal religious perspective. And so we've seen that many, many times. We've seen, I even saw one where in a recent turn of events, a Muslim group visiting an amusement park was told that they were not allowed to wear long scarves or veils on the rides, as this could cause injuries or even death if the fabric became caught in the mechanics of the ride. Now, that makes perfect sense. And you would think that the park, though, had asked these women to ride the ride nude. I mean, the way everyone was getting so upset over the issue, the situation nearly turned violent with the Muslims becoming very agitated over this rule because, again, they said it violated their religious obligations, their religious concerns. They were told ahead of time, and they seemed to have no difficulty with that, according to the park officials. However, once they got to the park and attempted to ride on the rides and were once again reminded that they could not do so with their scarves and their veils blowing in the wind, that's when things became heated. Eventually, they were given their money back and asked to leave the park. Now, Muslims like this count on people backing down. Most people don't want to fight. They don't want to have to deal with violence. They don't want to have to deal with another person who is standing up for their rights and appears to the other person that they're willing to become violent over the matter. Most people just want to live peaceably in society. So the Muslims count on this, and too often Muslims themselves are not arrested when something turns ugly, which I find fascinating. It's the person who is on the receiving end of the Muslim's ire that often becomes the person that is arrested. And this has occurred numerous times in Dearborn, Michigan, for example. Too often, because of the annual Arab festival that takes place there. Both the mayor and the chief of police in Dearborn have bent over backwards to placate the Muslim community. And in doing so, Christians have been arrested, jailed, falsely charged, and even tried for crimes of disturbing the peace, among other things. Now, this is in spite of the fact that the Muslims were the ones who began acting violent toward the Christians. And there's a good deal of video evidence on YouTube and other places to support this fact. Fortunately, it was some of the same video evidence that brought about the not guilty verdicts by juries of their peers for the Christians. But this is the goal of Islam. It is to take over an area, dedicating it to the God, Allah. And once they have established themselves in one area, they broaden the scope of their insurgency so that the area is enlarged, with greater gains being made by the Muslim community. Muslims will do this by any means necessary. They will use war if the situation permits, like those areas in the Middle East, and that also is happening now. If we have kept up with what's going on in Iraq, we know that the insurgents have barreled through one city after another. When they got to Mosul, they killed people left and right, and they were other Muslims. So what we have there is a situation where they have the two main factions of Islam, Sunni and Shiite. And the Sunni are killing the Shiite and in droves because they're even calling them infidels. And if they get to Baghdad, they're going to make matters worse for people in that area of the world, as well as for the rest of us. But that's what they do. They use a nation's own legal system here in America to establish for themselves an ever-growing area of influence. They'll simply squat in an area, acting as if they own it. And as more Muslims come into that area, the population grows, then one day a sign might go up that says Sharia-controlled zone. And people who are not Muslims wind up avoiding those areas. Well, that's what they want. Muslims have won by default because they have successfully pushed out those who are not Muslim. And they didn't even have to get a law created. But from that point onward, Sharia law rules in that area. And these neighborhoods are essentially let alone by law enforcement officials to do what they do under their own Sharia law. It's happened in England. It's happened in the Netherlands. It's happened in Belgium and Germany and other parts of the world, France. And it's starting to happen in the United States. And it really doesn't matter how much they gain as far as ground is concerned. What matters is that they do gain as much ground as possible, because the more ground they gain, the sooner the sixth caliphate, as I mentioned at the top of the hour in the introduction, they want this sixth caliphate to begin. What other group, religious or secular, is able to do this? What other group is given the freedom to do whatever they want to do in the name of their religion or ideology? Christians are not allowed to set up their own communes or communities in which they become their own law, and through which they ignore local laws and ordinances. Makes no sense. But since Muslims often react violently to things that they see as being against them, people all too often back down. They just give in because it's easier. It's exactly why Muslims count on things like this happening. They do not expect anyone to stand up to them, and most folks simply don't. Now, what's really interesting here, though, is when we start getting into the area of the Muslim Brotherhood and other factions within Islam. Muslim Brotherhood is largely a terrorist organization. There are other groups connected to it, directly or indirectly, like Hamas, which is also a terrorist organization, and one in which CAIR, C-A-I-R, here in the United States, is linked. Now, ever since I began writing about the problems of Islam and its encroachment on a free society, I've received a number of emails and responses that attempt to portray me as the extremist, of course. But what I've learned is that the individuals who have, they've written these responses to me are more likely agents of disinformation. For some reason, they either are Muslims or they're Islamic sympathizers, and they're quick to point out what they see as the flaws in Christianity, and so that's supposed to equal everything out and I should just stop talking. Well, here's an example of one of the things I received. What a lot of hogwash. You generalize, and of course you inject your personal bigotry. You think Christianity is clean of violence? It's funny that in most wars, both sides claim God is on their side. Your article is so taken out of context that it's not worth commenting on. All religions are cults. Maybe you should read Leviticus a little closer if you're a true believer. Most Muslims are good, hardworking people. They don't believe in violence. It's the radical extremists, just like in Christianity, that propagate violence. It's also a mob mentality, just like we have here, that lead to violence. We see it happening after huge sporting events. As for Obama and Sharia law, what planet are you on? Or are you part of the wacky morons that believe he's a Muslim, not an American? You should be thankful for the USA that gives you the right to preach your lunacy. I put you right up there with the American Nazi Party. Your right to preach BS, unquote. Well, at first glance, this appears to be from someone who might want to be classified as an atheist, because they say that all religions are cults. The problem, though, is that this particular individual is protesting a bit too much, and it's all in support of Islam. Notice how he laments that my quote-unquote article is taken so out of context that it's not worth commenting on, unquote, yet he takes the time to comment on it anyway. And in fact, it's obvious he couldn't wait to comment on my article. Now, I won't take the time to respond to the individual's comments line by line, but notice this other statement, quote, "Most Muslims are good, hardworking people. They don't believe in violence. It's the radical extremists, just like in Christianity, that propagate violence," unquote. Well, the person has inadvertently given themselves away because of their less than intelligent comments, though they attempt to pretend that they are affiliated with no religion at all based on their throwaway comment that all religions are cults. The reality is that they spend the entire paragraph defending Islam while trying to shine the light on Christianity as if Christianity is truly the violent religion. And note also that the attempt shut me up by calling me a lunatic, a wacky moron, and one who is equal to the American Nazi Party. You know, these slams really give the person away. He's not an atheist. At the very least, he's an Islamic sympathizer, and at worst, a radical Muslim trying to wear the cloak of an innocent lamb. This is exactly what Muslims and their agents do when they're cornered. But then again, that's what leftists do when they're cornered. They try to deflect, you know, pull your attention away from that to something else, throw it back on you. That's their main defense. And it is to go on the offensive by attempting to turn the tables on the person who brings out the truth about Islam. Now, if you've never read the books Muslim Mafia or The New Muslim Brotherhood in the West, I strongly suggest you do that. It's interesting to note that CAIR, C-A-I-R, has sued the publisher and author of Muslim Mafia because it brings out the truth about the Muslim Brotherhood and their plan to overthrow the United States. While this plan may seem completely far-fetched to the average and uninformed person, it's happening here in the West. Muslim Brotherhood and others like them take advantage of this mindset because it gives them a cloak of invisibility that allows them to work unnoticed by most people here in the United States. They love the fact that so many people here in the West are complacent and literally asleep at the wheel. Here's the Muslim Brotherhood credo. You may have heard it. This is it. Quote, "Allah is our goal. The Prophet is our guide. The Quran is our constitution. Jihad is our way, and death for the glory of Allah is our greatest ambition." Now, do all Muslims buy into that? No, I'm sure they don't, but that is what the Muslim Brotherhood buys into. And many groups aligned with them, or directly or indirectly connected to them. The most famous saying of the Muslim Brotherhood is, quote, "Islam is the solution," unquote. Well, what does that tell you? They're currently living the dream in Egypt, or trying to, and other parts of the Middle East, as well as various places throughout Europe. The Muslim Brotherhood is an extremely dangerous organization, and the credo I just mentioned tells us, without equivocation, their plans and intents. And this not only applies to America, but to every other country in the world that they can manage to become part of through infiltration. Unfortunately, though they are actually outlawed in number of countries, like Egypt, the United States has yet to attach the label of terrorist to this organization. Now, the book I mentioned, Muslim Mafia, explains in detail how the Muslim Brotherhood came to be, how it works, and what its goals are for the United States, but also for the entire world. It is interesting to note that with the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood has risen to the occasion and exerted its influence. Now, we're going to go over these five or six phases next time because we're running out of time here, and that's pretty much our show for today. But I do thank you for joining me, and when we get together next time, we'll talk more about the Muslim Brotherhood. And until then, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.